the road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by.
Welcome to this February 2018 edition of Education Now. In this edition, I welcome the return of Anthony Cody. Anthony Cody worked for 24 years in the Oakland schools. He spent 18 years teaching at Burt Hart Middle School. He has been blogging at Living in Dialogue for 9 years. He co-founded the Network for Public Education in 2013. He now does workshops for teachers focused on project-based learning. In 2014, he published a book titled The Educator and the Oligarch, A Teacher Challenges the Gates Foundation. Welcome back to Education Now, Anthony Cody.
Thank you, Athena. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you on. We've been through so many struggles together. I can't believe the changes.
Yeah, we've in this fight for a while.
Yes. Well, could you please talk to us about the state of privatization related to charter schools and vouchers?
Sure. Well, as folks may know, charter schools have been sort of one of the leading ways that proponents of privatization have promoted a shift away from public schools into schools that are privately managed. And some charter schools are for-profit and some are non-profit. Some are truly community-based schools, but the majority are connected to charter management organizations, which often have highly paid executives. And it's really taken away from public schools in a lot of the districts where charters have flourished. What's happened is actually in the last year or two, charter school growth has really stagnated and started to fall off. And charter school advocates acknowledge that their growth is being hampered by the effectiveness of people who are raising concerns about charter schools. And that includes organizations like Journey for Justice that has been organizing in African American communities and has pointed out the connections between the expansion of charter schools and the closure of public schools, and also gentrification of neighborhoods in places like Chicago and other big cities. The NAACP has also called for a moratorium on the expansion of charter schools. This was quite controversial, as you can imagine. And they did, after they passed the initial resolution, they held a series of town hall meetings around the country and heard testimony from people in places like New Orleans and New York and elsewhere where charter schools have expanded. And they really heard a lot of things that were very concerning about the way that charter schools were affecting African-American students in increasing segregation in communities. So charter schools are having a bit of a rough time. But, of course, they have some very powerful allies in the Department of Education and in the Trump administration. But you know, as I mentioned to you when we were talking earlier, the whole those folks have another sort of strategy up their sleeves, which is what they call education savings accounts.
Yes, I was just going to ask you about that. I was going to ask you to address that, but before we left,
Sure.
I want to be sure that you talk to us a little bit about DeVos and how
Okay.
destructive that's been, and how public school it really isn't getting any press, like on
Yeah.
NPR. I mean, I don't, you know, I can't believe
Yeah.
that. And so please address those issues as well as, you know, this latest
Yeah.
thing called educational savings accounts.
Yeah. Well, we had President Obama and Arne Duncan and then John Jackson and or not John Jackson, I'm sorry, John King in his place at Department of Education. We had sort of a soft sell approach on privatization. We had very active support for charter schools, including financial support from the Department of Education. So that paved the way for a lot of the expansion of charters that we've seen. But with DeVos, we have somebody who's really a full-throated advocate of privatization and who wants to really bring what she calls the kingdom of God into public schools, into the public arena. Whereas before the choice movement was about choice among public schools, now there's a shift to this idea of all that really matters in terms of quality is that the parents have choice. And so we don't talk about accountability systems anymore. We don't even talk about student outcomes anymore necessarily. We're just going to let it be up to the parents to decide, and the parents are sort of sovereign possessors of their children's education. And the idea is, let's say you wanted to keep your kid at home like that family did down in Southern California. That had them marching around the house at midnight. You can keep your kids at home, and you actually get 90% of the cost of their education sent to you in the form of money that you can spend theoretically on their education. So you could enroll them in a Christian school. You could enroll them in any kind of religious school. You could school them at home in whatever manner you chose. And there's no accountability. There's no tests. There's no nothing. And of course, I've been a longtime critic of standardized testing, but this idea that we just simply allow everybody to make those decisions and not have any sort of systemic approach to education means that we're going to increase segregation. We're going to increase sort of this balkanization of our future. And there's no guarantees on quality at all. The government ceases to care about quality and only cares that the parents get these, get to have this choice. And I think that's really disastrous for the next generation and for the fabric of our society at large.
Right. I mean,
There's
it completely ignores the separation between church and state. And
Right.
I can't believe that. I can't believe that constitutional lawyers and advocates aren't going after them in a big way about that.
Yeah.
And the NAACP, you know, like I really believe they should be in on this one as well. I mean, because it's such a disservice to the teachers and to the every to what we know about children and how they learn and what's good for them, and you know all the experts, of course, you know, science is a bad word, but you know I and then the history of DeVos and her she has absolutely no really background in education. She should not be in this position. it is just disgusting that she is, in my opinion.
Well, there is a pushback being organized. They were somewhat successful in Nevada at challenging the voucher system because it, on the grounds of separation of church and state, that it violated the state constitution. Right now, there's a big fight in Arizona that's being led by a group called SOS Arizona on the voucher issue, and they're trying to get an initiative on the ballot that would reverse the state's voucher and educational savings account policies. But this is going to be the next big thing that the DeVos folks are going to push nationally. So people should start, you know, start paying attention to this idea that, you know, that everybody just gets their tax, you know, everybody just gets the, you know, all you have to do is have kids and you get, you know, what do we spend in California? $9,000 per student per year. Well, 90% of that, you'd get $8,000 a year in some kind of voucher that would be transferred into some kind of educational account for you that you could spend any which way you wanted, pretty much. And that's, you know, that's where we're at. We aren't there yet, but that's the next thing on the horizon.
Right. Well, you know, I really believe that parents should opt out if they choose, opt their child out of testing. I believe that they, you know, should respect the parents on that issue. School districts should, and I really I support parents who want to homeschool. You know, I think that that's laudable as long as they follow, you know, certain procedures and they can be accountable. But this just goes beyond the pale and it confuses the issue. And I'm afraid that especially those households that don't have a lot of education will be duped by this rhetoric.
Yeah.
So what is the latest news on Bill Gates and his industry related to public education?
Well, you know, as you know, Gates has been focused on what he imagines to be improvements in teacher quality for some time. And
you know, that makes me, that I get outraged at him about this, because we have the best teacher education system in the world. People from all over the world send their teachers here to become educated. So I just do not understand why, his money.
Yeah, well, when you decide that quality equals test scores, then that requires you to change everything. And that's really the heart of his, you know, engineering efforts have been to try to get better test scores. And so he's been pushing teacher evaluations and, you know, also attacking schools of education because they weren't emphasizing test preparation enough. Now, the latest thing is they're talking about making sure the curriculum is high quality. So they're going to try and micromanage what teachers teach. And, you know, in a way, the Common Core was really trying to do this as well by setting one set of educational standards. But they always tried to pretend that this wouldn't affect how teachers taught, that somehow this was a project that would not affect the curriculum. Well, now they're shifting and they're saying, well, we have to have a high quality curriculum. But, you know, they just want ways to micromanage the teaching profession and also to expand rationales, to expand technology, you know, which they're very invested in.
Yes, I know that. I have such a big problem with Bill Gates, and I'm so angry at NPR because that's who they have on for an expert in education when he has absolutely no credentials in child growth and development. And it's disgusting. It's disgusting to me. And instead of looking at the schools that have been successful, the public schools that have been successful and what they are doing, they're not doing that. It's maddening. Well, how are the teachers' unions involved in helping to address any of these issues? Are they?
Well, yeah, the teachers' unions, they've tried to sort of accommodate in some ways some of the Gatesian reforms, you know, like Common Core. The teachers' unions got on board with Common Core.
That really upset me.
Yeah, they've somewhat resisted some of the charter school growth, but at the same time, they haven't really wholeheartedly done so. But they have done some pushing back, and they've been, in California, they've been pushing for greater transparency and accountability for charter schools. The charter school lobby in California is hugely powerful and donates to a lot of politicians. So even though the teachers union is also fairly powerful, they have not been successful in really producing legislation to get more accountability for charter schools. The unions themselves, though, in spite of this kind of rather weak opposition to these reforms, they're still a big target. The promoters of privatization, the billionaires, still see teachers' unions as an organizing force of resistance to the changes they want to make. And right now, there's a lawsuit that's going to the Supreme Court called the Janus case. J-A-N-U-S. And the Janus case is similar. You might have heard about a lawsuit a year or two ago that was threatening to derail unions' ability to collect dues from members of the collective bargaining agencies.
Yes.
So this case is another iteration of that. And if it is successful, then it will sort of make everybody right to work in a way. It will allow individuals. Right now the law is that, you know, if you're a teacher and you work in a union shop, then you pay union dues, you know, as long as you're not in a right to work state. And this will remove that, and it will make it so that anybody who works in a union shop can choose whether or not they want to pay dues. And that really threatens to cripple. There was a previous lawsuit called Friedrichs a couple of years ago, which lost, and partly because Scalia kicked the bucket, and as a result, there was a 4-4 tie on that case. Well, this one, you know, since we now have Gorsuch in there in the Supreme Court, it's likely that the unions will lose, and that will mean the unions will go into a real retrenchment, because they will lose a lot of dues, and it'll be a real fight to keep the unions alive.
Oh man, we are in such a predicament here in this country right now. And I just worry so much about the kids, especially the kids who don't have, you know, a lot of options. Well, I asked Anthony about some websites and articles that he would recommend, and then I have some. There's one that he wrote called Philanthropy and Education: The Gifts That Keep Taking. It's great. It's so great, Anthony.
Yeah, well, I've been kind of wrestling with the Gates Foundation since 2010, since Waiting for Superman came out, and they were the big, they were the big proponents of that, and it's kind of opened my eyes to the destructive role that philanthropy often plays in cash-strapped communities when they come in and sort of provide funding for projects that really aren't in line with the interests of the community, whether it's charter schools or draconian teacher evaluation systems or computerized curriculums, scripted curricula, all these so-called reforms that are, that they label high quality, but that really end up disempowering communities, disempowering teachers, disempowering students, and really usually placing the expertise outside of the community, outside of the teachers, outside of the students.
Yes, and now if our listeners, if my listeners here on Education Now want to access that article, they can just go to
https://www.living.com/philanthropy-in-education-the-gifts-keep-talking.
So, or can they just go to
If they just go to livingindialogue.com, and they search for philanthropy, they'll find that article.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's really good. It was really fun. It was great to read. Now, an article that I would like to recommend, and I think you've read it too, Anthony, is The Real Reason Students Shouldn't Sit in Class. And that's a HuffingtonPost.com recent article. And it is so great because, of course, with what Gates has these kids doing is sitting all the time,
right.
And at a computer, at a keyboard, taking tests, and that's so antithetical to what experts in child growth and development tell us, that children need to move,
Absolutely.
So I just wish that a lot of more people would read that Huffington Post, The Real Reasons Students Shouldn't Sit in Class. And then another one is, what is a quality curriculum?
Right.
And that is a blog from educationweek.org, teachers/teachers. And I think that's Nancy Flanagan, Teacher in a Strange Land. Is that right?
Yeah, that's Nancy's blog, yes.
Yeah, and it was good too. It was well written, and as I say, I just wish that more people would be able to access these and actually knew about them,
And the other thing, if I could just mention Diane Ravitch's blog, of course, is encyclopedic. And so if you have something that you're curious about, you can always go to her blog and do a search on it, and you're likely to find it. There's all sorts of action happening all over the country, and she does a fantastic job at sort of bringing all these things together, which is, the reason that I approached her back in 2012. And she agreed to create an organization called the Network for Public Education, which launched in 2013, and we do an annual conference. We had one last fall in Oakland, and we brought about 500 activists from all over the country to talk about these issues. We're headed for Indianapolis, in Indiana, Mike Pence's home state, this fall in October 20th. And again, we'll be bringing the resistance together to learn together and get inspired together.
Yes, I'm so glad that you brought up Diane Ravitch. I was going to ask you about her, and you just brought it up, which is really good news. It's great news that you brought her up, and I will definitely add her to the promotion and maybe some links on what she's doing and what's going on. And I did have some reservations about her. I've talked to you about that in the past. She's done a complete turnaround, and that's really laudable.
She's an amazing character in terms of her integrity. You know, you wonder about these folks if they only knew what damage they were doing. You know, would they wake up?
Yeah.
And she's somebody who did. You know, she's somebody who did, and really embraced resistance to what she had formerly been advocating.
Right.
It's pretty amazing.
Yes, it is amazing, and I do appreciate her work, and I am glad that she turned around, and it's that's all good news. Now, I've done some past interviews with Anthony Cody, listeners. I did one with him on Living in Dialogue on January 5th of 2012. You can access that at the Education Now Facebook page, at the Education Now website. And I also did one with him and Kim Losey on testing and the Common Core, and that was in March 2014. But I was really looking forward to this one, especially because he used to be a part of a Facebook page called for teachers. I think it was about it had one
name. Teachers' Letters to Obama.
Teachers' Letters to Obama.
I started in 2009.
Right.
And that has now become Teachers' Letters of Resistance.
Yes.
So it's still up there on Facebook.
Yes, it is. And I really enjoy the Teachers' Letters of Resistance. And we had very different views on Obama. But I would always go to that page, and I would, you know, read what it said, and I would, you know, we won't go into that, the issue about why I was more supportive of Obama than I feel like a lot of other people were around the issue of education. But I do enjoy that page, Teachers' Letters of Resistance. That's a Facebook page. And there's also a great teachers' Facebook page called the Badass Teachers Association.
Mm-hmm.
You have to ask to join the page, but there are over 500,000 teachers there, and I think that's a great way for all of us to keep informed, especially since the major media is not on our side. And
right.
And I wanted our listeners to know. I didn't mention it this time, but there wasn't any question that Anthony had worked in high poverty schools in Oakland for 24 years, and that and 18 of them as a middle school science teacher, in case some of you didn't know that. And he was one of the organizers of the Save Our Schools March in Washington, D.C. in 2011, and which was just a great thing, and too bad it didn't get more press. And he's a founding member of the Network for Public Education, which he just talked about now with Diane Ravitch. and a graduate of UC Berkeley and San Jose State University. And he now lives here in Mendocino County, California. So just in case you weren't up to snuff on Anthony, you are now. I also wanted our listeners to know that they can listen and download free anytime at the website, at the Education Now website, and to please join us on the Education Now Facebook page, where they can leave comments and join the conversation. Did you want to leave contact information, Anthony, or do you just want people to comment on the article and you'll chime in there on the
podcast?
Well, folks
can always reach me. You can always reach me at Anthony_Cody@hotmail.com. I'm on Twitter also at Anthony Cody, and I'm on Facebook, so I'm very accessible.
All right, very good. So they can contact you by email, and I'll put the email address in the promotion, or Twitter at Anthony. At Anthony Cody, okay. Twitter at Anthony Cody, and I'll put that also in the promotion. Well, is there anything that you'd like to leave our listeners with before we say goodbye?
No, just keep your spirits up, take care of yourself, and take care of one another.
Yeah, that's great advice, Anthony. Thank you so very much for doing this tonight.
All right, thank you. Thank you for doing this work.
Well, you know, Education Now is a proud supporter of the American Montessori Society, and their website is 3ws.amshq.org, and we do now have a public Montessori school which adheres to all of the requirements that that any public school would, and they did it especially so that they could address people, you know, and from communities who don't have a lot of power. So, if you haven't looked at that, Anthony, you might find that interesting.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm sending cosmic love to you all. And this is Athena Melville, the host of Education Now, asking you to follow the child. And that's a quote from Maria Montessori. So unless you have anything else, we can say goodbye, Anthony.
All right. Farewell. Thank you, Athena. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know.